Welcome to CodyCast. This is Cody Allen's podcast.
I cannot tell you how excited I am to have Gavin DeGraw in studio with me. Not only a guy who lives in Nashville with so many country music connections, but also one of my favorite singers and songwriters over the years. Just love him to death. So I'm glad you're here. Last Monday, you were supposed to be here, but you had a car accident. Good news is no one was hurt.
No one was hurt.
And you were, is your insurance kicked in? And
I hope so, yeah.
We got some good, you have a good plan?
I hope so, okay. Man. Yeah, I hope so. It's the GavoCare. And, you know, I think they're going to cover it. Man, I hope they cover it. It was a mess.
Do you have a sizable deductible, or how does that work?
Man, right now, I don't know what's going to happen. Uh-huh. I think I do. I don't handle much of the financial stuff because I'm bad at math, and I slept through a lot of high school.
Uh-huh.
And so I leave that for somebody else.
Yeah.
I don't really handle grocery shopping so good. Even that math's a little high for me.
Have you discovered Shipt?
No.
Shipt.
Yes.
And so these people, like, first of all, I'm all about bringing things to my doorstep.
Yes.
So I've discovered, you know, Drizzly, you know that?
No. You're edumacating me though right now.
Drizzly. That's like they bring alcohol to your door. So if you, yeah, it's true.
Really? What's going on around here?
You order on an app, and they just bring it to you. I mean, there's a little fee involved.
It's incredible.
But for the convenience of it, and Shipt's the same way. You basically, you sign up. I'm not being paid for this, by the way. I should be paid for this.
You should.
Why is there not an endorsement? Hello?
I think you need a pay raise through a sponsor of some sort. You should get a percentage.
Dude, you just put what you want on the list, and they go get it. They bring it to your door without you having to step out of your house.
I think that's absolutely ingenious.
It's really good. So
that way I don't have to go out of my house in my slippers and my bathrobe like I do typically to go get something because I'm like, there's no way I'm lacing up my boots right now.
You know, I've been preaching the gospel of Gavin for I don't know how many years.
Thank you.
Seriously, I have. Since I saw you for the first time in Dallas when I Don't Want to Be came out, and I was like, I went to see you, and I like the song. I'm like most people at the time. I'm like, my God, that song's so good. But when I saw you and saw you play like Chariot and on the piano and Follow Through and all those songs that were huge off that first album.
Man. Thank you.
I was blown away.
You're so nice.
To
man.
The
I
point
really appreciate
it. I fangirled after the show to say hi to you by your bus.
That's so
That's
amazing.
How weird I was.
And we met then.
Like very briefly.
That's amazing.
No picture or anything. I was like, just want to shake your hand.
That's so nice, man. What a compliment.
So
I appreciate it.
It was a little 360 moment whenever I saw you at Luke's Crash My Playa this past
January. Wasn't that great?
Incredible.
I love that event.
Yeah.
I love that event. Question, when we met originally, were you in radio at the time?
Yeah.
You were doing this as well? This type of thing?
Yeah. I was doing the Wolf in Dallas country radio station
cool.
there. And it was probably, what was that, 03?
Man, let's see. My record came out in 03. Mm-hmm. I didn't have any success with it until, I want to say, late 04 or maybe mid 05.
Okay.
Yeah. So it could have been either one of those,
but
one
that,
of those times.
That
you know?
Moment, you were like on every show. You were doing everything.
I was doing a lot of shows.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, what you saw was probably like the remains of me from however many morning shows and late night shows at the time, you know?
Yeah.
You get the opportunity to get all that exposure. Now, of course.
All at once.
All at once. Yeah. And so every time you do make an appearance, it's sort of like the tattered version of yourself. You know what I mean? Like, I swear, I'm usually a little better than this, you know?
Like, right.
I usually don't look quite this horrible either, by the way, you know? And I need a shower, you know?
Well, you were impressive that night.
Thanks,
and
man.
At Crash My Playa, you played with Luke and the crew. And
yeah, man.
That was so fun.
What an event. You know, it's funny. I mean, that whole thing came about because of Bobby Bones' event. At the Ryman one night, and had come in and I said, oh, they said, well, you would you come down and do this event,
mm-hmm.
raise money for St. Jude, and here's the acts that are going to be on it, and I said, yeah, I live literally around the corner, you know,
right.
So
which,
I mean,
a lot of people may not know that you do live in Nashville.
I live in Nashville. I've been living here like maybe about 10 years, mm-hmm. you know.
Wow.
And I like to live in the downtown area because the drinking is here, really. And, you know, and you can't drink and drive, and I actually don't trust other people's driving. So I'd rather just stagger home. You know, that's be my next single. Stagger
tumble,
home.
Tumble yeah. home. Tumble
stagger.
In.
That's yeah. it. That's it.
I'm the same way, though. I live right down here, too.
Yeah,
so
man. So we got to get up, man, and throw a couple back, you yeah. know?
Bobby Bones won't go drinking with you, but I will.
Well, you know what?
Because he doesn't drink.
He doesn't drink yeah. at all, really?
No.
Well, man, we got to change that.
Yeah.
You know, we'll have to pre-open that water bottle before he gets a hold of it.
That's right.
You know? So that night, well, I was backstage, and I saw Luke, and me and Luke had dinner, man, it had to be over 10 years ago.
Yeah.
Back before we had anything really going on, we had a dinner in New York with a couple of, you know, important people in the business, I guess.
Right.
And they were like, you know, big things are going to happen for you. And he and I were like, they are? And then we were just a couple dudes, you know? And they were like, we should probably have each other's phone numbers. But we never, you know, we didn't really keep in touch a lot. It would be once in a while, what's up? How's it going? So when I saw him backstage, he was standing there with a guy. And the guy goes, hey, man, do you remember me? I said, I know your face. Like, I know this guy's face, and I'm trying to remember how I know his face.
Right.
He said, you had s'mores at my house. I said, I did? He goes, yeah, you had never had s'mores before. I said, that's weird. So, anyway, I guess what happened was I was friendly with an engineer here in town named David Hall, and I was over hanging with him at his house. His son was going into Citadel and whatnot. He wanted me to talk to his kid. You know, I said, yeah, I'll come over. We'll hang out. And next door, his neighbors were having a campfire and doing s'mores and stuff. Say, hey, man, we're having a campfire, doing s'mores. You want to come hang out? And I was like, yeah, sure, let's hang out. And they had a dog. I love dogs. So backstage, as it turned out, this guy was Luke's TM, you know, his tour manager and whatnot. And they were talking about Crash My Playa.
Okay.
And I said, you know what? Maybe I'll hop on a plane. And I was just kidding. And they were like, do it, man. I said, all right, you know, we'll show up, though, you know? And I did, you know? I actually did show up, you know? And I showed up, and I was like, so what's up? Where's my room? You know what I mean? They're like, we actually got one just in case you came.
Right.
Yeah. So, yeah, I had a great time, man. Nice. And Luke was a great host and, you know, insisted, hey, man, stick around. Let's hang out. Let's play music. And we're going to have, like, a Luke and Friends night with, you know, Chris Jansen and Dustin Lynch. And, everybody played.
Yeah.
So it was a great time, man. I was actually thrilled to be there. And particularly coming out of the world that I came out of, which didn't seem to have as much camaraderie, you know,
right.
Coming out of the other music styles, I never really experienced much of that camaraderie, you know, in the rock and the pop worlds of music.
It just doesn't exist there, really?
I just wasn't feeling it as much.
Right.
In the country world, there really is a sense of community. I mean, you feel it in Nashville, Tennessee. There's a sense of community, you know?
Yep, totally.
I mean, people talked about it when y'all had that flood years ago, mm-hmm. and there was a sense of community. Yeah. People were all helping each other out, towing each other out.
Yeah.
You know, it's a thing. Yep. And that transcends from this neighborhood of Nashville, Tennessee, into the country music world. There's a sense of that, you know, and I think everybody knows that in order to make it in this country realm, that community is important, and everyone who is in it experienced that community lending them a hand. You know?
Absolutely. And I it's often important. Wonder, because I haven't experienced the other side of it,
yeah.
like if that exists anywhere else. And yeah. I hear more people say exactly what you just
it's
said.
It's amazing.
That this is special, what we have. And I'm kind of spoiled by it because I already, like I said, I've always been doing this. So,
yeah.
And always been country music. So
Lucky man.
Yeah.
Lucky man.
I am a lucky man.
Man.
Have you seen Luke on American Idol?
I've only caught little glimpses of it. Now, okay. I don't watch much TV, but I've seen the advertisements. I see it on some billboards sometimes, smiling. I'm like, oh, but there's Luke right there. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
I Don't Want to Be was probably early on in American Idol. A lot of people did that song as their audition song on the show.
Isn't that cool?
It's great.
Oh, man.
Do you remember the first time you heard someone else do the song?
First time I heard someone else do that song. Uh-huh. Let me think. I actually think it was an American Idol contestant, and I think his name was Bo Bice.
I remember him.
Right? You remember
Long
that
hair.
Name?
Yeah.
And he was a
great voice.
Yeah, really good singer. Yeah, and that I think may be the first time I heard a cover. It was either that or one of the seasons that they nixed me from the show that was using my song. And they were using guest singers. Guest singers would come in, so you'd have all these artists coming in, singing the song, covering the song. And I can't remember if it was one of those or if it was Bo Bice. To me, I think it was the Bo Bice performance.
Wow.
You know,
back in the day.
And then I covered me once. I covered me once at a karaoke bar in Los Angeles because.
Really?
Because I was in there with my brother, and, you know, my brother, he's a real wise guy. And he said, he was like, you should go do one. I was like, I'm not going to do one. I mean, I'd look like, you know, tacky and this and that. He's like, all right, you're probably right. And about 20 minutes later, the intro starts to I Don't Want to Be the Dan and no. And the guy goes, Gavin, is Gavin in the audience like this? I looked at my brother. I was like, I'm never going to forgive you for this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Yeah. And okay. I had to do it at that point.
Yeah.
You know?
Because Dolly Parton tells the story about entering a drag contest of Dolly's.
You're lying to me.
True story. She told on Hot 20 back, I guess it was December when she was on the show.
Mind blowing.
Incredible, right? She entered.
Absolutely mind blowing.
She lost, by the way. She was not the best Dolly of the Dollies.
Oh, it's amazing.
Yeah.
Dude, oh, get this. This is funny. This is along those lines.
Okay. So,
all right. So I lived in the New York area for a long time. And I was playing all these little nightclubs, you know. Mm-hmm. And there's a street there called Bleecker Street, where, you know, classically, like, all the old dudes from, you know, the 60s played all their gigs down there. You know, Hendrix and Bob Dylan and you name it. And I used to beat the street down there, you know, and play all these little nightclubs, you know. Me and guys I knew and this real local crew of players, you know, Bleecker. And so one day I go in there, and it's probably 07. And I go back to one of my old haunts that I used to play every Monday night. It was called the Red Lion. It was right next to the first place I ever played in New York City called Bitter End. So I walk into Red Lion, and a friend of mine's playing. And he goes, hey, Gavin, you know, you wanna play a couple tunes? He doesn't say it on the mic. He says, you want to play a couple tunes? I was like, yeah, man, you know, why not?
Sure.
I say. So I play a couple tunes, and I go back to the bar, you know, and I'm throwing another one back, and this guy comes over to me, and he's got this kind of a thick European accent, and I can't tell what country it is because I don't spend a lot of time in every country when we go overseas. You know, you spend a few days here, a few days there. It's pretty thick, and he says to me in his accent, which I won't attempt, "Hey, you know, that was like pretty good," and I said, "Hey, man, well." You know, thanks a lot. And he says, but you know, you have a problem. And I said, okay, well, that's kind of bold, you know, we just met. And I said, well, what is my problem exactly? He said, well, you know, when you cover him, you sound a little too much like Gavin DeGraw. Mm. And I said, I'm sorry, what? He said, when you cover him, you sound like you're impersonating Gavin DeGraw. And I said, that's pretty funny. And I thought he was kidding. And I said, I am Gavin, you know. He goes, you're not Gavin. And I said, no, I am. He goes, no, you're not. And I said, no, really, I am. And it really, he got really angry that I was claiming to have an identity that to him clearly was not my identity. And I was, you know, some kind of imposter. And he demanded my license, at which point I presented it to him. And then we had a good laugh. And then, but that actually, the Dolly story makes me laugh because that's actually how real.
Yeah.
How real it is. Because we look very, I think people look different in person than they do on TV, right?
Mm-hmm. We're also polished up on, you know, you get the makeup and the things and they scrub you down and
totally.
There's a mat.
And guyliner and all that stuff. You know what I mean?
Especially the guyliner.
All the guyliner, you know? And so you're like, oh man, you know? So yeah, you know, God forbid you walk out of a building after a TV appearance. You're like, man, the guy, he was like, I look like I was winning the drag contest, you know? So, you know, that's just the way TV works, you know? But also it's we look so different because the camera, it's a single lens, right? So it's not capturing the
full
actual
essence.
Look, you know?
Yeah,
you know, you just look different in person.
Yeah, totally. Well, and then you guys went and had s'mores. No?
No. 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 No, I didn't have s'mores with that guy.
Okay.
No, I didn't have s'mores with that guy.
You have so many country music connections. Brett Young, most recently I learned about.
Oh, I love Brett, man.
You're going to co-headline with him in Vegas. You got a song on his album, man. Chapters, which is such a great song.
Thank you.
So how did you two first meet? Was that a Nashville thing?
It was so, you know, I hate to overuse the word organic because it's just an overused term in the music business. But really,
if you don't mind Gavin speaking into the microphone, that would be great.
Sorry. I was getting real organic, not using the microphone. I was like, let me just speak to the room here. Yeah. So anyways. So, not to overuse the term, but, you know, I was out in L.A. for a gig. I had played a place called The Greek out there, which is a really beautiful amphitheater. And so after the show, you know, don't get me wrong, I love people, but I like my hermit time, too. You know, I like my time alone. And,
same.
You know, because particularly after
hermit time, I've never heard it called
that. Man,
that's a good
time,
term
right?
For it.
You know, so, you know, after you do a show and you're with people you love, some you don't. Right. So and some strangers and some friends. And so you're just bombarded, you know, bombarded with work, you know. And so, you know, you work in the room or the backstage or whatever it is. And it's great. But after a while, you just run out of hellos, you know.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the night, it's very late. And I go out for a stroll, you know, because don't get me wrong. I don't like to exercise, but to walk, I like to do. You know, I like to walk. You know, like go for a stroll, right?
Sure.
You won't catch me at the gym, right. But you will catch me walking around town, you know? So anyway, I'm walking past this really famous diner in L.A. on Sunset Strip called Mel's, right? You know Mel's Diner?
Been there.
Right? So I'm walking down Sunset Strip. I've already had a long night, and I've, you know, probably had a few. And I'm walking, sure enough, past this place, and I hear somebody say, "Hey, Gavin." And it's late, like I said, and I'm like, and I keep walking. I say, "Hey, Gavin." Huh. And it's a dude's voice, you know, a big guy voice, right? I'm like, oh, no, who's going to, you know, F with me right now? It's like middle of the night. This is not going to be good, right? And I turn, and sure enough, it was actually a very big person. It's Brett Young, right? Mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, God, this guy's going to be a problem. You know what I mean? He's a big dude, you know? He's like 6'6", right? I don't know if I can handle all this right now. So, but he smiles and he says something nice. And I said, okay, all right, maybe this is all right. So we get to talking, and he pretty much leads off with a music question or music business question. He sounded like he was really interested in playing music. And so we spoke about a half hour or so, and I gave my opinions on some things and, you know, what I thought he should do if he was interested in playing music. Well, I end up seeing him again however many months later. I can't remember where. It may have been a Hawaii gig.
Uh-huh.
And we end up hanging out, me and a buddy of his and me and my pops. And at that time, I was like, this guy's a good guy. I said, man, take down my number, man. We'll stay in touch, you know. And over the years, we became friends, and, you know, we always, you know, have a few. And he'd always tell me about his progress playing gigs and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. You know, writing songs, playing me demos, and tell me about his progress and the struggle and all that stuff. I totally identified with it because, you know, I came up playing ballrooms. So over the course of the last handful of years, he'd say, hey, man, I'm moving to Nashville. Hey, man, I moved to Nashville. Hey, man, I got signed. Hey, I'm cutting a record. Hey, I got a single out. Hey, man, I got my first number one. Phone rings again a couple months later. Hey, man, I got my second number one. Hell, man, that's incredible. Congratulations yet again. Hey, man, I got my third number one. I was like, stop trying to make everybody feel bad, Brett. You know? So anyways, you know, a few more months go by. We're hanging out. And he reaches out. He said, hey, how you feel about getting in the studio? We'll write a song together. I said, I'd love to do that. Of course. I said, but he said he didn't want to just write a love story. I said, well, perfect, because I'd love to write, you know, your story, your autobiography. Mm-hmm. You know, I want to write the song that you feel like you don't ever want to play a show without playing that song.
Right.
That's the kind of song I want to write. You know, and we got together, he and I, and a mutual friend of ours named Ross Copperman, who I met 10, 15 years ago, I think, in London when I was playing out there. Mm-hmm. And he was an artist at the time, Ross. Great guy. Really talented writer. And we always kept in touch here and there. So it was a very natural progression, right, that we'd all end up in the room together and write a song. And then as we were finishing the song writing session, Brett said, hey, why don't you sing at the end? And I said, well, it's your record and it's your story. If you insist, I would obviously love to be part of it. If we can find the right verse for us, for that to make sense, of course, you know. And we did. We wrote the right type of verse, and so I guessed on that record, which is an absolute honor.
So the song's Chapters.
Chapters.
Okay, wow.
Chapters, and the opening line for Brett. I mean, you know, Brett used to play ball, and so baseball player, and he almost he was being scouted by the pros when he threw his arm out, and so the opening line is so just really a great way, I thought, to begin his life story. Mm-hmm. Chapter one, I was raised on the Dodgers. Every boy wants to be like his father, you know, just to bring you into the world that, you know, that he grew up in.
Yeah.
Singing about, you know, his sports dreams.
Yeah. I love the song.
Thank you
so much.
He says you're
his biggest musical influence.
Boy.
That's pretty heavy, right?
That's heavy. Yeah, that's heavy. That's an honor. Yeah. That's really kind of him. Because my biggest influence is Billy Joel. He's my tip-top favorite artist of all time. And to me, I know what that accolade is. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So I don't take that lightly. I mean, where I hold Billy is a very, you know, very special place.
Right.
You know?
You opened up shows for him.
Oh, yeah, a lot of shows.
Yeah.
Billy's been very good to me. We did New Year's together again this year in Nassau Coliseum, which is out in Long Island, which is sort of like, you know, opening for the Pope at the Vatican. You know what I mean? Opening for Billy in Long Island is like very important, you know? It's pretty cool.
Who are you? Who are your other friends in country music? I know you work with Sarah Evans.
I have. I have. She's
not over
great.
You did
she
a
was great.
Version of that for her.
She was wonderful.
Love her so much.
She's
one of my
awesome.
Favorite female country music
artists.
And a
truly nice human being, yeah. Right?
So fun and so decent.
Super
and
nice.
So real.
Yeah.
Like you always get the same Sarah.
Yeah.
And you never know quite what she's going to say.
Yeah.
Which I love that about her.
Uh-oh.
I mean, she can go anywhere with an interview. I mean, it could take on new life you didn't expect.
She's very, very, not just nice, but like super talented. Super talented. Martina McBride and I get on great. Years ago, Trisha Yearwood was just so good to me. Garth. I don't know how I ended up meeting all these people just separately. And, you know, they're just good people in the country music world, man. You know, Keith Urban, super nice. I mean, all these guys are such good people. They're just, you meet them and you just want to be their friend. And I think it's almost a prerequisite in country.
Well, when I met you and really had a decent conversation with you at Crash My Playa, I thought to myself, I really want to be his friend. And so I'm glad this has worked out that you were able to come today. And
I'm honored.
Real quick,
before we
let you,
you
take off here, you have a bar in Nashville.
I do. I hope you come to it.
I want to. I have events.
Free,
so
free drinks, man.
Yeah,
free drinks.
Let's make this happen.
Let's go. The Nashville Underground. I was there. I was there this weekend. I remember some of it.
Is it true you're putting in I heard a bowling alley?
A bowling alley
on the second floor?
Yeah, okay. Third and fourth floor.
Third and fourth floor.
Yeah, yeah, okay. Third and fourth floor. So first floor is bar and food.
Okay.
Second floor, we also have bar and food, a lot of vents we have on second floor and our bull riding. And then fifth is our nightclub, you know, like with this giant LED floor. You know,
awesome.
Nightclub kind of thing, rooftop. Then we have a green roof and, you know, typical outdoor games, stuff like that. So we'll do bowling and more games on the third and the fourth
Sweet.
Floor, man. And I'm excited about it because I suck at bowling. So I want to improve my game at bowling because lifetime sports are key. They are key.
Yeah. What's your go-to drink? You seem like a beer guy.
I love beer.
Okay.
I really do. Is that because it looks like my caloric intake is exceeding my caloric output?
No. I just, when you said earlier you throw another back, I thought that's a beer term.
That's a beer term. Yeah. And, yeah, man, I do like the fizzle. You know, beer is so good and delicious. And you know why else beer is good is because you can take your time. You can make it through a whole night sipping beers. you cannot make it through a whole night sipping old fashions.
True.
You know what I mean?
Yep.
That's hospital time.
Yeah.
You know? You gotta pace it. It's gotta be a slightly lower alcohol content. You can start with an old fashioned.
Sure.
You know?
You can't keep it going all night.
You can't go all night long.
Yeah.
Not a chance. You're going to wake up wearing someone else's clothes. Not a good time.
Or peeing in a trash can.
It'll be bad. I promise you. I do.
All right. Musically this year, what's your what do you hope to accomplish? What do you got going on?
Cause man.
I know you can't give it all away. But
I can't.
You got some stuff.
I'm working on some stuff. Yeah, I really am. And thank you for that. I'm really working on kind of approaching music from another angle. You know, I never particularly categorized myself as an artist. I'm just a songwriter. And I'm making, I would call a songwriter's record, you know, and that might lean more Americana or that might lean more country. I'm not audacious in saying I am a country act. I'm a songwriter, and the country market embraces songwriting. And so I'm going to make a songwriter-style record in the vein of a Seeger or a Petty.
Yeah.
And that's where my heart is musically right now. You know, those are some heroes of mine who I haven't been tapping into as much in the last couple records as I want to tap into this record. That's why I'm writing this record alone.
A lot of hermit time.
A lot of hermit time, man. A lot of hermit time. That's right. And so my first few records I wrote alone, and then the last couple records I would write with other people. So this is a good opportunity for me to write an entire record again by myself and really tap into that thing, you know. And back around on New Year's Eve, I was talking to Billy Joel, and I said he was asking me what I'm up to, and I told him I'm writing this record. And I said, I think it comes off a little weird sometimes because my buddies are saying, hey, man, come out. Let's run a game of ball or let's hit the bar. And don't get me wrong, I like doing all those things. But sometimes it's hard to get out of the house. I'll say, honestly, man, I just gotta spend some time alone. I'm working on these songs, you know. And Billy said, you got to go away, man. Sometimes you just got to go away. If you want to put together that next thing and you want it to work, you got to get away and put in that alone time. I said, I thank you for that, because that's, I need to hear from you. You know, I need to hear from a guy like that.
Yeah, I mean, my God, coming from Billy Joel, because some folks like to get away, take a holiday from the neighborhood.
I like what you did there. Right. I like what you did there. Exactly.
Listen,
exactly.
You do no wrong when it comes to music.
You're so nice.
I
really
don't say that about
that.
A lot of people, but I just
that's
love
so kind.
What you do. Bring more.
Thank
bring
you
this
that.
New sound, this
thank
songwriter's
you
album to us. And
I appreciate
anytime you need
that,
support
man.
From me or any of us here at CMT, holla.
You're so nice, man. Really. I the opportunity to come in here and speak with you is truly gigantic and not something I take lightly. So I appreciate your time, man.
We
so
love
much.
You, Gavin.
Thank you for that, man. Thank you.
Thank you.
So good to hear.
This has been Cody Cast. Subscribe now on iTunes. Listen anytime on the iHeartRadio app. Cody is heard on hundreds of radio stations across America and seen on CMT Hot 20 Countdown every weekend. For more, go to cmtcody.com.